for your loving kindness and for your tender mercies. We thank you for life, Lord God. We thank you for health. And God, there's so many things happening in our lives, God, and good things and wonderful things, and yet there is so much pain and hurt. But we know no matter what it is, you promise never to leave us nor forsake us. And we know that you will not. And so we are trusting in you, Lord God. We thank you, God, for all that you have done for us, for our church, for being able to come together. And as we remember Scott Dana's brother today, we ask you, Lord Jesus, who are the great physician, you are the true physician, to touch that young man and heal him he's in a lot of pain, I'm told. Lord, take away his pain and heal him in the name of Jesus. And we pray, God, for the Wicks family today. And we pray comfort for them as their beloved mother has gone home to be with the Lord and to join her husband in the church triumphant. Thank you for their years here, Lord God. And as we continue to run this race here on earth and continue to honor their legacy and all of those who have gone before us, we ask for strength, and we ask you to speak a word for us now. Speak a word of love and of hope and of peace and of joy and of healing. Speak a word, Lord God. And let the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, because truly you are our refuge and our strength. You are our Savior and our Lord. Amen. And there's a lot in the midst of all that is going on. There's still a lot to thank God for, because God is always taking care of us, even when we don't know it, or we don't see it, or we don't think it. So we continue to seek God and to seek his will for our lives. And now, friends, my sermon title today is A Godly Ideal, Humility Coupled with Hospitality. Humility. And I did want to start on something light. Who knew that all of these things, in the midst of everything that's heavy, we sometimes truly have to have a laugh, don't we? Because we do need to laugh and catch our breath and breathe. And so here it is. I gave you this little sheet in yellow here. Did you all get it? I have it in white. And it says here, if you look at the cartoon, I saw this cartoon and it made me smile. If you don't have one, there's a lot here. It says, visitors in our pew, and look what it says at the bottom. The person is supposedly trying to show hospitality. It says, welcome to our church, even though you're sitting in our family pew. Do you get that, right? Welcome to a church, you know, we welcome you even though you're sitting in our family pew. We do that sometimes because the pew, I'm so happy I don't have a pew. I don't have enough money to have a pew. I never had a pew. I did pay for a pew one time when I was at the AME church, but you couldn't sit in there and don't move. Your name wasn't on it. They made a big cathedral and they asked, and they had a big tree, and you could buy different size. You had $1,000 for a rock and then $500 for a branch, whatever it was. You know, they had a thing, you know, and not that I was going to tell. It's called Allen AME. And so when I left the church to get back into United Methodism, I told my daughter, because she goes to Allen AME Church, it's African Methodist Episcopalian, I says, remember, I've got a seat there somewhere. And because find it, because it should have on my father's name, Edgar Wisdom, is on a rock. And she says, Mommy, I've been looking. They don't put any names in no pews. They do not do that. You give your money and you let it be. Either don't do it or you do it. But there was no little plaque or no seat saying Marjorie Nunes' little seat, right? Because that church, you know, it's a big, big, I'm taking Zamzam, big cathedral, worshiping a lot of folks. And they didn't put your name on anything because they would have so many names, you wouldn't have anywhere to sit. You couldn't sit. So when I told her, I said, find my pew. I got a pew. She said, we can't find it, Mommy. We can't even find your rock. Who knows where it is now? So you have to give it, but sometimes we could get locked to our seats. And we says, welcome, but you got to shift over because I'm sitting there. And the other one, it says, the visitors in Martin's pew. And it says at the bottom, the whole church watched with nervous anticipation as the visitors sat where the Martins have sat for 42 years. The visitors were nervous. The people were nervous because they were going to move them. Now, I know we get attached to our seat. We like our spot. It's okay. But when visitors come, we do need to be shifting over, right? And just, it doesn't matter to God, right? And so when I saw that last night, I should move from here because now I'm echoing. That's better. I started to smile. You don't know how much I smiled about this. Because how true it is. It is, you know, these little things are found. These little things are found in, you know, clergy joke area. You see them. But isn't that true, right? That people get locked to their seat. You know, there have been people here who says, this is where I sit and nobody else can sit there. You know, you may just get a better view if you sit somewhere else. You never know. And the Holy Spirit may just work something miraculous in your life if you sit somewhere else, you know, or something. But, you know, we have the liberty here because it is not a full church. But if God opens up, if God blesses us abundantly and this becomes a full church, you know, some of us will have to give up our spot, right? Or we're going to have to come first, early, real early. Now, you know, maybe because I'm of color, and of color folks, we would never get a seat because we don't come early. You see, we would be missing our seat every week because my people, here's one of my people, you know, she comes. But you know what I'm saying? We'll be all lining at the back, not because anybody put us at the back. We just would be getting to church 15 minutes after church start. So we would have to sit anywhere. But I know my folks of the different other hue, they get here early. So I know Marilyn would have been here early to make sure she gets her seat. God, you'd have to do that. You'd have to change the culture, wouldn't we? Right? I what a blessing that is to think about that. That how important our seat is. Now we don't have to worry about that, but that should be our problem, should it? That we have to give up our seat, right? So what does it mean to be humble or to humility? You know, humbleness and humility is not a word we use anymore. We think it's a bad word to be humble, you know, or to have humility. And humble, you know, to be humble, humble is the adjective, right? You describe someone. You could say that, you know, James Smith is a humble person, right? You're describing, and sometimes humble can be a verb, can't it? It says, you know, humble oneself before God. So it could be an adjective. I'm not giving you an English lesson because Lord knows I wasn't an English major. I was a science and math major, so I'm not giving you an English lesson. But I'm just saying, right, to humble yourself before the Lord, you know, and what does that mean? You know, it's like when you have kind of a modest view of yourself, you understand that, you know, we're not all that, are we now? You know, we're not all that, all the stuff that we think about. We want to have a modest. For example, a person can have the quality of humility as to be humble. And humility is the same, but humility is a noun. Oftentimes is a noun, you see. It is wherein, for example, a person can have the quality of humility as a character trait. You could say that person, you know, one of their great gifts is humility, right? You're describing them. It's their being humble. And so we see having that is very important. And then hospitality is about welcoming other people into our homes or in our places of work or in our church. Welcoming them, really welcoming them, right? And I have observed sometimes we serve people serve other people, and the way they are serving them, it's with no humility. It's no hospitality, I should say, no hospitality. You know, you could serve someone, and you're giving them, even in food pantries and things, and soup kitchen, and you're giving them, and you're like, here. You know, like, I'm doing it, and I'm just doing my duty, and you really are like, could be, you're being a pain to me. Right? There is no hospitality. Hospitality is that really, that you become mindful of it. Mindful of, and we have been, we have been at fault sometimes in our own service, in our own food pantry at times in the past, not anymore. Wherein, you know, folks, you know, take it on as if, you know, it is mine, and you want this, and why do you want it? And, you know, I always used to say to folks when they would get a little bit crazy about what we give people at food pantries or soup kitchen, I used to say, I'm not the food police. Right? And I always feel like if somebody drives from Pennsylvania, when I was in Connecticut, I always say we didn't go by zip code, even though they would tell us, oh, we could go by zip. I says, no, if somebody's driving from Pennsylvania for a can of tuna in Connecticut, they must want the tuna. Please give it to them. Because we're not giving steak and filet mignon. We're giving tuna and beans in a can, and some of them high in sodium. So if they really need it, please give it to them in love. And they used to look at, and I changed the rule at my other church, and I say the same thing here. Zam, no, I've said it, you know, and they don't have any problem in the food pantry now. They're doing that. If somebody's driving from Westbury just to get a couple of cans of tuna from us and a couple of green beans, please give it to them that we have gotten for free, that somebody has given us. And Lord knows if they're going to be selling it, I don't know what is the market for beans in Hicksville. I don't know how much they're paying for beans and tuna in Hicksville. But it can't be that much money, can it? Right? And so we want to treat them with what?
Love.
Love them. Because what is, and I'm going to get back to what the gospel says here. What is, when you think about it, what does Paul says in the Hebrew text? He says, because when we serve people well, what? We may be, at times we would, can be what? We could be entertaining angels. You just don't know. We could be entertaining angels, right? God sends somebody up, somebody, and you don't know if that is who you're entertaining. Someone that God wants us to bless. And so, we have been wonderful. We have had wonderful teams in the food pantry who take care. That's one of our ministry, and even the immigration ministry, I must say, who really think about each person and try to speak to them. And especially now, we're getting more stuff to give them. Zam, am I wrong or right? And opening up and fresh food, because we're trying to do it. What's the use of serving if we don't do it well? What's the use? Why bother? Right? And so we want to be able to do that. And we see Jesus is going to be talking about this in this text today. And what a text, right? And then I'll come back and read that reflection. What a text. So let me start by reading this thing. It says, self, and this is another thing, we'll give you a little bit of humor, but think about this and then we'll get to the gist of the text. Self-absorption brings humility. And I read this somewhere. It says, there's a story told of a pastor who was officiating at a funeral, talking about one of us now. Because we can be just as bad as everybody else, right? When he was done, he was asked to lead the funeral procession as it made its way to the cemetery. Now, so he got into his car and he started driving at the head of the funeral procession. He flipped on his radio and became preoccupied, lost in thought. He forgot where he was going. About that time, he passed a Kmart and thought about something he needed to pick up. So he turned into the parking lot. As he was looking for the parking space, he just happened to glance into the rearview mirror and saw a string of cars following all with their headlights on. He had led the people into the parking lot, into the Kmart, because he was self-absorbed. That's why I need the internet. I was so upset I had to Google these things at work, because I need to find these little stories. I can't make them up. So the writer says, so self-absorbed and then so humbled. Right? He was self-absorbed when he realized that all the people had driven into the Kmart parking lot with him. He was so humbled and ashamed, because what? He was leading the funeral procession. So you know what it's saying here, let's not
be that self-absorbed about ourselves. Some folks are so self-absorbed about with themselves. They think everybody is always thinking about them, right? One writer says, humility tears down fortress of pride. Ego builds a cardboard fortress that humility must every day tear down. Right? So ego builds a cardboard fortress, a cardboard box around us that humility must every day tear down. As we think how big and fancy we are, every day we must remember that we're nothing. Scripture says with all of our righteousness we are nothing but filthy rags. Whatever we think we have, it's not all that, right? It's not all that. We self-absorb. He says here, heaven helps the humble. Christ sends none away empty, but those who are full of themselves. Christ sends none away empty, but those who are already full of themselves. That means they don't need Christ because we're already full of ourselves. In today's gospel, we see Jesus teaching about humility. On one occasion when Jesus was going to the house of the leader of the Pharisees, my Lord, the Pharisees again, you know, they get into trouble sometimes. This is the leader of the Pharisees to eat a meal. And Jesus really loved the Pharisees, you know. That's why he was teaching them so much. He really loved them and he wanted them to be coming to the kingdom. It was about love, you understand. He really loved them. He didn't want to leave them behind, the leaders of the church, because he came for the Jews first. Let's remember that, right? And so the Pharisees to eat a meal on the Sabbath, they were watching him closely. They were watching him because they expect him to do something. And what did Jesus say to them? He says, listen, when you get invited to a dinner, I guess in those days when they got invited to big dinners, you know, they had, you know, nowadays we have the main table, right? And I guess they didn't have a seating pattern, right? Like what we have now. You know, you go to a big wedding reception or something or dinner, you get a little number where you should sit, right? And you better not sit in the main table up front. You know better. Because they're going to ask you to leave, right? And then you get embarrassed. You know it has happened. You got to find your number. You're like walking with a magnifying glass. I'm number 16 and I'm table 5. Where is table 5? Because Lord knows. Come on now, friends. Don't you know? Doesn't it happen to you? I can hardly find it sometimes. I'm like, where is table 5? You know, I need table. Because I don't want to be ashamed when everybody comes in. That's what Jesus is saying. They didn't have a numbering system then. Do you know what I mean? So you had to wait to be seated. And Jesus says, don't go sit at the top table, right? Because if you sit at the front table, guess what happens? You're going to move you and then you're going to be ashamed. Sit at the lowest table and then let the host or hostess say, move up. It's better to move from low to high than from high to low. You know what they say? Humpty Dumpty sat upon a wall and Humpty Dumpty had a great fall. Do we all know that? All the king horses and all the king men could not put Humpty Dumpty together again. When you fall from the top, you just smash up. You know, when you're at the bottom, you could only go up. Right, friends? So I'd rather start at the bottom. So Jesus said, he's saying here, don't do that. Be humble. Wait till you're seated, in essence. Don't think so much of yourself. And then what happens? And he says, don't exalt yourself. Don't make yourself bigger than you think you are. Don't exalt yourself. That's what so many people on TV do it. Let somebody else exalt you. Right? Let somebody else say how wonderful you are. Don't exalt yourself. Don't tell people how great you are. Let others exalt you. For Jesus said, for all who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted. He will exalt us at the very end, right? He will exalt us when we hear what? The well done. He says, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a few, and I'll make you rule over many. He will exalt us because we'll sit in heaven and reign with him. Right? Even the humblest person on earth, even the person who has nothing on earth, if they have served Christ, they will be exalted. Jesus tells us, don't get caught up. It's so tiring to think you're so important. It tires you. Isn't it tiring? You have to think you're important. This one to speak to you. This one, it's tiring. You see, I'm a Methodist pastor, so we don't have that problem unless the Methodist pastor is confused. You know, because we know my greatest position, I believe, is to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. Jesus has called me to preach his word, to say what I have to say. And I could do that anywhere. I could do that here. I could do it somewhere else. Because that is it. It is not just the position, yes, and to baptize the children and to serve the community, to do all the work of the church, just because he has called me to do it and allowed me to do it. I'm quite clear on that. There are others he has called to do it and allowed to do it. So it's not because I'm all that special. It's because he has chosen to call me. And I said yes to the call. Right? Those have come before me. Those will come after us. There are many who can do it. There are many pastors who are doing it right now. There are many preachers. There are many outside of churches, inside. Once you realize that, then you don't get so caught up in it. Right? Nowadays, remember, getting rich in America was a big deal. I don't know what I said to a guy the other day. He says he's trying to make money and this is not working. I said, go on YouTube. Do something crazy and get a following. You'll make money. You know what I'm saying? I was telling this young man, I said, I don't know what you could do, but it's got to be crazier than the last person, crazy thing. And see if you get a following and make money. You know, because if people now are millionaires and billionaires. One of the Kardashian girls, they keep saying that I was looking at, I'm thinking I should go on YouTube to see what she's doing. She was just selling some things or whatever. She's a billionaire. It's not because of, you know, it's a different kind of brain. So all of this is attainable. Humble ourselves before God. And then he says, you know, and blessed, you will be blessed. And you will be blessed because they cannot repay you, for you will be repaid at the resurrection of the righteous. Jesus wanted us to know that we don't have to be so worried about what people think of us. Right? We need to serve with humility and love. And that everything else will come. The Lord will do that. For here it is. The Hebrew writer reminds us of that. Jesus really wants to know us to know that service is an ideal to serve God. Service is an ideal. The writer of Hebrew says to us, do not neglect to do good and to share what you have. For such sacrifices are pleasing to God. Right? And it says, let mutual love continue. Do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers, for in doing that, some have entertained angels without knowing it. I want to tell you, if you are struggling with your position, if you're struggling with where I am now and what is happening in my life, if you're struggling with that, humble yourself before God. Humble yourself. Think of what God has blessed you with. Think of what we have. Right? Humble yourself, because this idea of constantly worrying and being confused about what I used to be, what I used to be, what I not used to be, will help no one. Won't help you. It will bring stress, it will bring angst, and it will bring pain. And so I want to leave you with this, I want to read you this little reflection by Ben Stein on life's true priorities. Author and actor Ben Stein has been writing a column published by E! Online for nearly 8 years, titled Monday Night at Morton's. The column detail is encounters with the rich and famous. I guess Morton's was a big restaurant, I don't know. He's not writing it anymore. Stein explained why in his final column on December 20th, 2003. He explained why. Real stars are not riding around in the backs of limousine or in porches or getting trained in yoga or Pilates and eating raw fruit while they have Vietnamese girls do their nails. A real star, the kind who haunts my memory night and day, is the U.S. soldier in Baghdad who saw a little girl playing with a piece of unexploded ordnance, and he pushed her aside and threw himself on it as it exploded. He says, I'm no longer comfortable being a part of a system that has such poor values. And I do not want to perpetuate those values by pretending that that who is eating at Morton's is a big subject. Last column, I told you a few of the rules I had learned to keep my sanity. Well, here is a final one to help you keep your sanity and to keep you in running for stardom. We are puny, insignificant creatures. We are not responsible for the operation of the universe, and what happens to us is not terribly important. God is real, not a fiction, and when we turn over our lives to Him, He takes far better care of us than we could do for ourselves. In a word, we make ourselves sane when we fire ourselves as directors of the movie of our lives and turn the power over to Him. I can put it another way, says the writer. Years ago, I realized I could never be as great an actor as Olivier, or as good a comic as Steve Martin, or Martin Mull, or Fred Willard, or as good an economist as Samuelson or Friedman, or as good a writer as Fitzgerald and so on, or even remotely close to any of them. But I could be a devoted father to my son, husband to my wife, and above all, a good son to the parents who had done so much for me. This came to be my main task in life. I came to realize that life lived to help others is the only one that matters, and that it is my duty in return for the lavish life God has devolved upon me to help others, He has placed in my path. And so he came to realize, after rubbing shoulders with everybody at the top, quote unquote, that was not the important thing. That was not what was all that about. Whatever we have gained, we're gonna have to retire from our jobs. We're gonna have to retire from our churches. We're gonna have to move on. It is not all this. These are just things we have on our resume. Life is about how we serve others in love and humility, with care, how we treat them, how we all, that's what the well done comes about. The well done does not come about when we stand before God and God is going to ask the question, where did you get your MD? What school did you get it from? That is not the criteria for the well done. And so today, let me remind you that little Shirley Wicks, who was here, right? I came to meet her 7 years ago, and I did not think, she didn't do great things here based on what I would see when I came, but she had been here for 80-something years, sweet, quiet woman, and her husband, Richard Wicks, was the one. I would go visit them, and Richard would then, he would talk with me, and he would tell me, and I used to laugh, because he would tell me about that cult, what is it called again? The Masons, not a cult, I'm kidding, the Masons. I'm saying it for her, you know I'm saying it for her? Helen, because she always say to me, she's going to the cult. The Masons, good group, because my father was a Mason. But anyhow, so he would be going to the Mason. I don't know what they do, but it's the Masons. My mother says it was a secret society. But anyway, he was a good Mason, and he would tell me, and he was a leader of the Masons. And he showed me the plaques and things. He was a chief marshal. Is that grand marshal? Right? He was at the top. He would even tell me that, that he was one of the highest. But Shirley was always there. She would make the cup of tea and she'll bring the cooking. She never said much. And she was quiet around him. And Richard was a great storyteller. I know a lot about Hicksville from Richard, the farmland, the hospital where the farm was. I knew the whole story every time I went, because he was full of knowledge. And he had achieved a lot. And Shirley was Miss Hospitality. And she made a nice little cookie, and she kept the house, and she was wonderful. Well, friends, let me tell you today, here's the good news, that where Richard went to be with Jesus is the same place that Shirley went. Same place that Shirley has showed up, right? right? Whatever it is, the same place surely is not whole in Richard's hand. Because the mark of a good servant is for those who serve in whatever capacity. Some of us are serving up here. Some of us have to serve here. Some of us have to serve here. It doesn't matter because we're serving. Amen. Amen. Right? And she accepted Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. He did. They were here. She was here for over 80 years. She met Richard, I know, when she was a young person, 18 or 17, and then came to this church because he was here for me. He was in his mother's womb. He always told me that, so I can't forget that. I will say that at his funeral, that he came in his mother's womb. That he, so he ran, he was here 96 years. His mother was pregnant. And he served well. You knew because he had achieved in the world. But surely was achieving right along with him. The same promise of God. In her own way. A good mother. Children loved her. Grandchildren loved her. Her great-grandchildren. And she did things in the church. Same way. It doesn't matter what I have, what I have achieved, what degrees I have. And it doesn't matter for the person who comes to the food pantry, who may not just went to a junior college or high school or was a dropout. It doesn't matter. As long as they're serving the Lord, we all are going to end up at the same place. Thanks be to God.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. We're all going to end up. Heaven is a great equalizer, isn't it? Oh, glory to God this morning. And so we serve in humility. And we serve with love. And we treat each other well. Because God expects that from us. It makes me smile thinking of Shirley. You know why? Those of you who will not probably be at the funeral. I remember when Richard passed. And he was laid out at the funeral home. And she stood over the coffin. You know, she was just starting to forget a little bit. But she remembered him, of course. She was just starting. And when she looked and he looked, he was laid out so nicely. And she ran her hand over and then she says, "Let it not be so. Let it not be so." I never forgot those words. The tears were coming and she looked at him and she was just, "Richard, let it not be so," that he was gone. And from that day, every time I visited her and talked about the church, as her memory was going a little bad, she would say, "Oh, I'm so sorry my husband isn't here." She would spend the other 2 years waiting for him. Waiting for him to come. I remember Ray and I went once and she would say to me, she says, "I'm so sorry my husband isn't here, that he's late coming home." She was waiting to see him. Huh? What a glorious day that was when the Lord says, "Shirley, come home. Well done. Well done."
Amen.
And so we give God thanks and praise, and while we live, we serve him well. It's a godly ideal. We serve him in humility and in love. What a rejoicing that was. 73 years of marriage on earth. My God. And then the Lord reunite them together. Thanks be to God. And so as we live, we have great examples that we could look to for in our own lives and in the life of the church. We see this gift from God, this promise from God. And the daughter says when the Lord called her home, it was so quick. She just and went. Praises, all praises be to God. So friends, we're running this race. And we may just have one day, if the Lord continues to bless us, have to get up from our seat and give somebody our pew, our seat. But we're ready. We're ready, aren't we? Because we could be entertaining angels. Amen.
Amen.